1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning, verses 27 through 31. As I've been telling you for the last few weeks, this section basically acts like the needle and thread that pulls the rest of the chapter together and puts everything into focus. And it's really a beautiful piece of scripture. It has so much meat in it that sets things in order about spiritual gifts, about the ministry of God's Spirit and what God's people are supposed to do. It's actually the fifth section in this chapter, and like I said, it's the one that pulls it all together. Verses 1 through 3, we've seen it that Paul said that by the Holy Spirit we call upon Jesus as our Lord. Verses 4, 5, and 6, the oneness, the one Spirit that ministers in a variety of ways. So we have unity and we have diversity. The unity is that there's one Lord, one God, one Spirit that is working in various ways. Thirdly, verses 7 through 11, the nine manifestations of God's Spirit. That one Spirit manifesting Himself in nine various ways within the body of Christ. Last week we took verses 12 through 26. There's actually two sections in this fourth main section. It's the verses 12 through 19 tell us that there is one Spirit ministering, but there are many body members. Just as there is one physical body that we are in, this one physical body has many members. So it is with Christ. There's one body of Christ and many members. And he said in verses 12 through 19 that if the eye cannot say to the hand or the hand to the foot, that because I am not a foot, therefore I'm not a body member. Or the eye to the ear cannot say, because I'm not an ear, I'm not a body member. Everyone in the body of Christ is different. You are unique in that Christ in you will minister through and in the body of Christ like no one else has, is, or ever will. It is our premonition, I believe, that when we first start out in our walk with the Lord is try to find people to copy. Try to find doctrine to copy, systems of theology. You don't know how many times people have said, you know of a good book, System of Theology, where I can just learn the whole system of the Bible? Nope. Sure don't. Other than the Bible itself. No shortcuts. Nobody can hand you a book and give you the answer. You got to be in the Word. There are no shortcuts to the Word, and you can't copy anyone else, and yet at the same time we can study and follow the same truth. But everybody is unique and everybody is different. You cannot compare yourself to someone else and say, because I am not like the rest of the body members, I'm not of the body. He says, it is not for this reason that you're not of the body. So there is one Spirit, there is one body, yet there are many members. Secondly, in verses 20 through 26, even though there are many members, he now goes back to say there's one body. We went from one to many, from many now the focus is to one. That even though in the body of Christ there are many members, there's only one body. So not only can I not compare myself with someone else and say, because I am not like the rest of the people I see, I'm not of the body, I can also say, I cannot say I don't need anybody. I am just a body part and a body member, and I have a need for the rest of the body parts to function with in order to function in the one body. He said even our unpresentable parts, making reference to our physical body, there are certain parts of our body that we cover up. It's shameful to uncover them, so we cover them up and make it presentable. Hopefully when we come out in public and we're in front of people, whatever is supposed to be exposed will be exposed, and it'll be comfortable and presentable, and whatever is supposed to be covered up, it'll be covered up, and that'll be presentable too. See what I'm saying? But just because there are some shameful things that ought not to be exposed that we cover up about ourselves in modesty, that doesn't mean that those parts that we've covered up are unimportant. So it is with the body of Christ. There are the weaker elements within the body of Christ. We struggle to find our way in the things of the Lord. Every person in the body of Christ is important, and it's not until we arrive at a place when we realize, if you have the blessing of seeing your child come to know the Lord at a young age, which I have, to realize that child could be 4 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, that he or she is just as important a member of the body of Christ as I am or anybody else. Christ is in them. In a certain way, I can learn from them. I think the main thing that I've learned from my children while we've been in this church, I'm looking at from my perspective at my age, and they're looking at us from their perspective, because remember, they're being forced to come along. You know, when you have your kids under your house, you're forced, they have to be there until they're out on their own. So their observation, and I didn't pick up on this until I started sensing what was going on, they're observing us. When everybody leaves, they come up with a perspective. Well, if those people didn't show up to church today, why do I have to be there? Oh. Came to realize that the greatest ministry that we have for our young people is just faithfulness. Just, you know. I know it's a nice day and you'd rather be at Waller Park, but it's an encouragement to young people who are looking at the adults, the older members of the body of Christ, and they're saying, show me. Show me the way. Remember a young person that came up to a minister one time, both were guilty of committing the same crimes, same sins, but the pastor made the young person, he says, you're going to have to repent if you want a fellowship here. You know what the young person told him? Show me. Show me how to repent. Oh, that was pretty good. He says, you're doing the same thing I do. Just because you're the pastor, you rule, you know. It's a very humbling experience to get a perspective from a young person when they observe all the flaws, all the weaknesses, all the pride, all the arrogance. It's very humbling. They have a ministry too. They have Christ in them just as full as I do. They're just not experienced at walking with the Lord, and they're not as, just not as experienced in the Word. But the Lord really ministers tremendously through young people. No matter how old, how young, how long a person's been a Christian, every member of the body of Christ must be valued. Even the characters and rascals that we have in the body of Christ. He says, when one suffers, all suffer. When one is honored, all are honored. That's how one we are, yet how diverse we are. Now, verses 27 to 31 says this. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The word individually is literally translated out of part. So we're parts. Of whom God has appointed in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, adverb. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, which literally is the word dunamis, works of power, expressions of power. Then gifts of healings, plural. helps. The word helps means to take the place of another person, carry their load for them. Administrations. It's a Greek word for a helmsman of a ship. The steersman, the person who's steering or leading the administration of the body of Christ. Literally, families of tongues. The word tongues, again, is the word for languages. Families of languages. Verses 29 and 30 is the second section. Are all apostles? I have to mention to you that in the Greek text, here's the beauty of this part right here. In the Greek text, for every question, there is the word may. It is a negative particle, which means that the writer is asking the question and he's expecting the answer no. So the answer no is actually incorporated within each question. It literally reads, all are not apostles, are they? Because it's expecting you to give an answer no. That's the beauty about the text. It doesn't leave it open to debate. He's presenting the answer and the question all at the same time. All are not apostles, are they? No, they're not. All are not prophets, are they? No, they are not. All are not teachers, are they? No, they are not. All are not workers of miracles, that is, expressions of power in miracles, are they? No, they are not. Now, up to now, there's no problem. You and I both know, just by logic and reason, that not everybody's an apostle, not everybody's a prophet, not everybody's a teacher. Also, not everybody has the working of power in them to perform miracles. So if you ever felt left out, my sister and I have talked about this before. How come all these people have visions and dreams and prophecies and miracles happening in their life and I just kind of go along every day? Like, those things don't happen to me. Maybe they don't need to happen. If you're just going right through life, what do you need all that stuff for? But notice this. Verse 30. All do not have gifts of healings, do they? The answer is no. All do not speak with tongues, do they? The answer is no. All do not interpret, do they? No, they do not. What a section for the doctrine, the doctrinal approach to the Scriptures that you must speak in tongues in order to be saved. All do not speak with tongues, do they? No, they don't. Third section, but earnestly desire. That Greek word means to be boiling, to be in hot pursuit of the better, some manuscripts say, the greater gifts. Be in hot pursuit of the better or greater gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then he moves on into chapter 13. Three things I want to point out to you this morning about verses 27 through 31. First of all, with this section, Paul is presenting the priority of the gifts. The priority of the gifts. We've seen that there's one Spirit working in many different ways, through various people, all for one expression. And that brings us right up to where we're at now. First of all, verses 27 and 28. Everyone in the body of Christ is just a part of the body of Christ. We are individuals. We are only a part of the body of Christ. Not one of us has everything. There are no superstars in the body of Christ. We're just parts. And yet within those parts, look at verse 28. In this list of priorities, the first three in the list are people. Not ministries, but people. First, God has placed in the body of Christ, the first priority is apostle. Secondly, prophet. Thirdly, teachers or teacher. Those are priority. Now, the next Greek word after the word for teacher, epita, means after that. Now he's giving the second half to the list. These are now functions or expressions of the ministry of God's Spirit. After that, there are miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, families of tongues. This is very important to understand, especially when we get to the command in verse 31, where he says, earnestly desire the better gifts. In the body of Christ, God has placed the apostles. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and Peter gave the sermon and many thousand repented and were added to the church and received Jesus Christ, in Acts 2:42, it says, after they were saved, that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and teaching, the breaking of bread and fellowship. Our priority as members of the body of Christ are the apostles that God has chosen and used to log His Word for us. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us what the requirements for an apostle were. It says that in order to be an apostle, that is one of the main 12, you must have been with the Lord from the time of the baptism of John until His ascension. So you had to be with the Lord for His entire public ministry. Seeing Him crucified, seeing Him rise from the dead, seeing Him ascend up into heaven. There were other apostles other than the original 12, which were reduced to 11. And if you're wondering about the Apostle Paul, he was not with Jesus from the baptism of John to the ascension. So therefore, was he one of the 12? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says no. He said, first of all, the Lord appeared to the 12, and then He appeared to me. He didn't count himself in as one of the 12, yet he considered himself an apostle. The word apostle just means one sent out with a commission. It's a military term. Somebody that gets orders to go somewhere, set up camp, and be ready to evangelize the region. Paul was an apostle. He was not one of the original 12. But he was an apostle. But you have to understand the requirements for being part of the original 12 had to be that you'd be with Jesus from the baptism of John until His ascension. Because during that time period, Jesus now being gone, ascended up into heaven, He used eyewitnesses. Those who had been with Him, those who had experienced His ministry over 3 years, 3.5 year period. From there, we know from Ephesians chapter 2 that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So the prophets came and took the teachings of the apostles, and the prophets came and began to minister in the church. They still had prophets in the church after the Holy Spirit came. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 mentioned, actually chapter 1 at the end, the fact that scripture, that prophecy was now in scripture form. The prophecy of scripture. Book of Revelation says that the book of Revelation is the final prophecy that God was to give. So a prophet is somebody, the word prophet, by the way, means a spokesperson. A prophet is somebody who took the very beginnings of the apostles and went out and ministered that word and that teaching of the apostles to others. Thirdly, in the body of Christ, there are teachers. A teacher seems to have more of a localized ministry to it, more limited in number than a prophet does. But basically what a teacher does is he takes the writings and teachings of the apostles and prophets and he teaches them. So there you have the priority in the body of Christ. Apostle, he's the one that goes out and he He's like a missionary. He goes out and he evangelizes. People get saved. He gets the church together. He feeds the flock until leaders emerge from out of the flock. And then he sets up those leaders as heads of the church and he moves on. The apostle seems to have every kind of expression of ministry of the Holy Spirit through him to do any function that is necessary within the body of Christ. A prophet, then, is someone who takes that word and ministers it to others, and the teacher is someone who takes the teachings of the apostles and prophets and teaches them to the members of the body of Christ. After that, it's very important to see that in the Greek text it says, after these three priorities within the body of Christ, who are people, not ministries, but people, then we have functions or expressions of the ministry of God's Spirit. The Greek word epitas says, after that is after teachers, we have miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, families of languages. Keep in mind what the command is, because this is very important. Earnestly desire the better gifts. What should I be seeking for as far as God's expression goes in the body of Christ? The apostles, the prophets, the teachers. Those are the ministries of growth and establishment. That's the priority in the body of Christ. Do you know why? Because all the others are signs. The healings, speaking in tongues, speaking in languages, miracles, God presents them as signs. When we studied these in the manifestations of the Spirit in verses 7 through 11, we saw that tongues is a sign. We'll see it again when we get into chapter 14. The tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. A Christian given the ability to speak in a foreign language when that person has no knowledge of the language. And the person who hears in their language, they say, what does this mean? What's this ability that you have to speak my language, you having never learned it? Then you can explain it to them. It's a sign to you. Christ is manifesting himself to you. It's a sign. So as a Christian, what am I supposed to be earnestly desiring and seeking after in hot pursuit? The apostles, the doctrine of the apostles and prophets and the teachers. Those are the ministers and ministries for growth and establishment in the church and the body of Christ. Secondly, so that all do not feel like, if you're not an apostle, prophet, or teacher, and you don't have many of these things working in your life, if any, again, you might feel like you're not a body member. So he says, all are not apostles, are they? If you're not an apostle, if you're not like the Apostle Paul, don't worry about it. Because all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? So not only is there one Spirit manifesting himself through a priority in the body of Christ, we are to put value upon the ministry of God's Spirit through his Word. That does not mean miracles, healings, and signs should not be important, except for the fact that you realize that those things are only for the non-believer. When a Christian starts seeking signs and wonders, you're in trouble. He is not saying to seek out any one of these things for yourself, as some people teach. Look at verse 7 of this chapter. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Not the gifts, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given by God. People do not seek it. Secondly, notice verse 11. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The word wills is the word bulomai, which is the word for counsel. As God counsels each individual part of the body to have His expression, this is by His counsel, it is not by the seeking of man. Thirdly, verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Here's the word for willed. It is God's will as to how each body member is placed within the body of Christ. It is according to His counsel that His Spirit works in and through each member of the body of Christ. There are various expressions in the body of Christ. We are to earnestly desire the greater gifts in priority as Christians. In the city of Corinth, and the church in Corinth, they made a big emphasis on tongues, which is why Paul is going to spend an entire chapter, chapter 14, on it. They were actually partying it up. They weren't the guests of the Spirit. They were just having a party in the flesh, in the name of the Lord. And he puts everything in perspective as to what tongues are for. It's not for the believer, it's for the unbeliever. You should be gathering around the Word. Peter, in his swan song in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, right, he knew he was about ready to die, and he wrote that letter, and he says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't settle for anything less. Seek out God's Word. Seek out the ministry of God's Word to His people. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ." You can see in the last days, the Bible says that there will be apostasy in the last days. The apostasy is getting away from the Word of God. The apostasy is focusing on miracles and tongues. That doesn't mean that God's Spirit cannot perform these. But every expression of God's Spirit has a purpose and a reason. Stop and think about it. God's not like we are. You know, I got the gift of tongues and I'm just going to throw it out there whenever I feel like it, you know. Just throw it all over the place. He has a specific design and purpose for each expression of His Spirit. Paul's just saying, be mature. Now that you're saved, don't be chasing the signs and wonders. You already know Jesus Christ is real. But be involved in that growth process where you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is should be your choice, should be the top priority of your life, no matter how boring it is for your flesh, or how difficult it is to do. That's God's way. And then he closes by saying, yet I will show you a more excellent way. And next week we'll begin our study in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. Even if you do teach, even if you do have prophecy, even if you have the various gifts and ministries of the Spirit and you don't have love, you're nothing. We'll get into the study of that next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we stop to thank You again for Your Word, for the factual truth that it presents to us. We are not to seek and to claim for ourselves. You distribute the ministry of Your Spirit and moving of Your Spirit according to Your counsel and according to Your will. And yet each one of us have the fullness of Christ. Some of us are very vocal. Some of us are very quiet. Some of us are the mouth. Some of us are the ear. Some of us can see and have insight, but they're not teachers. We are all important because You have placed the fullness of Your Spirit in each one of those that are Your children. We are to submit to one another and receive from the Lord from one another so that we can function together, that our part and function in the body of Christ will be a healthy expression, as we cannot say that we have no need of one another. But help us to earnestly desire, to hotly pursue the better of the gifts, the greater gifts that you have placed for growth and ministry in the body of Christ, not the expression of spirit for experiences. So that we can be anchored in the truth, so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to make those mature decisions that are for our spiritual benefit as we receive and as is formed in us that intimate fellowship and relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.